Please rise for their majesties of Royally Obsessed, the podcast for all things royals.
Stand by! Three cheers for Her Majesty, the Queen!
Welcome back to Royally Obsessed. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Roberta.
And it's time for your weekly update on the royal news you need to know. A couple of royal reminders before we dive in. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group at Royally Obsessed. You can subscribe to our podcast and leave us a royal rating of 5 stars, please. Or send us an email at info@gallerypodcast.com. Roberta, how are you?
so much to cover on this episode. Things happening today as we're recording.
Fast edits to our script.
I know, but first, Rachel, tell me about your weekend. How was it?
It was actually really good. I did something that I have never done in New York City before, where I went to this garden on the Upper East Side that was a part of a Vanderbilt mansion called the Central Park Conservatory Garden. And I wore a mask, but it was like stepping into a different world. It wasn't New
that
York
sounds
anymore.
So lovely.
Yeah. I don't know how
I've never
heard
even
about
heard
it.
Of that. Yeah. I used to live near Central Park, so that's wild.
Me
that
too.
I
used to live up on the Upper East Side. It was just like, I mean, whoever's manicuring the flowers and kind of the landscaping it, it's just the most idyllic little getaway. It felt very British, actually. Like a little, like out of a Jane Austen novel or something.
Oh, that sounds so, so lovely.
How about you?
I want to show you a couple of my birthday gifts. My birthday was last week.
Oh my gosh, yes!
Okay, so this is from Dave. This is, I'm holding up to the Zoom, a mug with Harry and Meghan under the umbrella. The
Samir Hussein
picture.
I just want to give a little slow clap for Dave. Well done.
It's really, I'm so excited to use this. And then also, my brother and sister-in-law got me the Diana lookalike sweatshirt that says
Wait,
Fly Atlantic.
Where did they find
so good.
This?
I'm holding it up to the Zoom. That's why she's freaking out.
Wait, okay. I need to get this because, like I said, I've been dabbling in the bike shorts, which she wears with that sweatshirt.
I know.
And I'm really into the bike shorts.
And the high, like, tube socks with the New Balance yes. white sneakers. I'm so excited.
Where did they
to
find the sweatshirt?
So it's from Etsy. You can look it up on Etsy. It says Fly Atlantic. And instead of Virgin, it says Diana in cursive on the lady's little cape. But it's called Kiss Clothing, and it's a UK-based company that does all kinds of fun, like TV and movie clothing.
I know. Dave and your friends and family. I mean, I'm so impressed.
It was such a wonderful birthday.
Wait, but while we're doing a little birthday show and tell, I got a surprise delivery yesterday that I opened today that was from you.
And I'm a month late, so no, I feel really bad.
You did not need to get me anything. Roberta, for everyone listening, got me a beautiful, beautiful illustration by Amelia Noyes, who I'm hopeful everyone is following on Instagram. Her artistry is incredible. But it actually includes that sweatshirt. It's 5 illustrations side by side
yes,
of Diana.
Yes, it does. That's right. Yeah.
And it's so high quality. Like, I actually cannot wait to get to a frame shop. It is beautiful. You did not need to do that.
Well, your Zoom background with the Diana poster that I always see, I feel like you need to add this to your collection.
Have
like
a
gallery
have a
wall.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Aww. And the illustrator, Rachel and I are both big fans. Her handle on Instagram, if you guys don't follow her, is at @IamNoyes. So her drawings are just
of
fabulous.
Everything. She does so much royals, but she also like will live illustrate.
Rachel and I comment and fawn over all of it.
Live illustrate the Emmys and things like that. So anyways.
Yes. Celebrities too. Yeah, it's really wonderful. All right. Well, let's talk about the episode, the royals. We have so much coming up. First, big royal baby news on this week's episode. We also got a new Cambridge family pick with Sir David Attenborough and George, Charlotte, and Louis. And the shark tooth, of course. And then Meghan and Harry news. So much Meghan and Harry news. She was actually just on a virtual summit today, which we will talk about. But we always save time for a cocktail.
And now it's time for the weekly royal cocktail.
Woohoo! Oh my gosh. Cheers, Roberta. So this week, we're sipping red wine from the Jeffrey Zakarian collection on Wine Insiders. So I have a 2019 Finca Los Olmos Selección, a special Malbec. Do you like how I said that?
Oh, I hope I got it right. I love Malbec. I just took a sip. It's really, really good. It's like a little dry.
I have it right here. And I actually had 2 bottles. So I already had 1 bottle over the weekend. I don't know how I ended up with 2 of this same one, but it's so delicious.
Well, I opened this one on my birthday, so now I'm on Thursday, and I can't believe it's still sitting around somehow. Like, I never have leftover wine, but I'm finishing up the last of the bottle now at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So here we go. My cheeks are already turning red.
It's good because we have a lot to get through.
You know what we haven't found, Rachel, is Tignanello. If anyone has a good brand of Tignanello, because I always look in our local wine store and they never have it.
So that's a varietal, right? It's not like
It's like a super Tuscan.
Okay. I know. I haven't tried it either. I feel like that needs to be a priority.
Meghan Markle's fave.
Yeah, yeah, totally agree. Well, while we're sipping, two very buzzy posts that we wanted to touch on in the Royally Obsessed Facebook group. First, this morning, new photos from The Crown. Roberta, what did you think? Did you see them?
Oh my gosh. I mean, Gillian Anderson is...
I can't wait.
Unrecognizable, the transformation, especially from Sex
That's
Education
the thing.
On
I
Netflix.
Love her in Sex Education. Like, same, she blows my mind in that show. Much. So I really can't wait to see her as Margaret Thatcher.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. So what was the thread? What
so the thread
say?
Is all about, actually, all the Roros are super pumped, obviously. But Linda says that she already has a full day set aside for November 15th when it comes out.
Same.
Well played.
Same, Linda.
But yeah. Jillian pitches the idea of a Roros watch party. What do you think? I feel like even for if it was just like the first episode, how would we pull that off? Could we?
That would be so fun. I think we could totally do that if we all download the Watch Party extension app to our computers. I think you can do it that way. I should like look and then post in the Facebook group.
Yeah, I think we should look into it because then we could just.
That would be so much fun.
It would be really fun.
I would love that.
But I also, because, you know, obviously Diana's going to make a huge part of this season. I wanted to mention another. One of the Roros mentioned a podcast You're Wrong About, which I just started listening to this morning because they do a whole series. Their new series is about Diana. So I just wanted to soft plug that here.
And the photos of Emma Corrin as Diana are super. It's like so crazy to me how much the hair, they nailed the hair. Like it looks so good. It's
fitting image.
And Olivia Colman in full military uniform. Just... Oh, it makes
they,
me
like,
so
excited.
They, like,
drop a little, like, right when we need it. We're like, we need a little pick-me-up. Yes. Thank you to Netflix.
Yes.
But then one other thread I just wanted to call out is a lot of chatter about Robert Lacey's new Battle of the Brothers, which comes out October 15th. Rachel S. brings up the fact that she's already pre-ordered. A lot of Roros have. And this book is set to offer the inside story of William and Harry's feud and additional details that we didn't hear about in Finding Freedom, whatever, you know, the background of Finding Freedom, which we all know.
Yeah, more sources or something. Is that right?
Yeah, more sources. Also, a pretty big revelation that the brothers only reconnected when Charles got COVID. Like, they actually weren't on speaking terms, according to Vanity Fair, is one of the revelations in the book.
Yeah.
So, anyways, a lot of buzz.
And now that this is coming out after Finding Freedom and we're learning more about the things about Finding Freedom that are factual and some of the things that Meghan's lawyers have had to deny on her behalf about the book, it'll be interesting to see how Battle of the Brothers by Robert Lacey kind of ends up. Like, what is the current situation? That's what I really am curious to know.
Totally.
Because we get these little, like, tidbits of, like, oh, they're talking to each other on each other's birthdays, or they privately said, you know, whatever, congratulations. But, like, it's I just want to know, is that
I know.
True. We might
true,
never
what's
know.
False. But, and I should mention that Robert Lacey, I don't think I said this at the beginning, but he's the historian for The Crown. So a little, you know, crown connection between
little
these
connection
two.
There. Yeah. Well, two great Roro threads. Love to see it. So diving right into This Week in Royal History.
And now, This Week in Royal History.
It has been 4 years since the Cambridges tour of Canada with George and Charlotte. And researching for this segment, what truly brought me so much joy, I can't even tell you, Rachel. But let me break it down first. So a little bit of background. So the Duke and Duchess of Cambridge visited British Columbia and the Yukon between September 24th and October 1st in 2016. George accompanied them. He was 3 years old, and Charlotte was one. Aww. It was their second official tour of Canada. Kate and William went in 2011, shortly after their wedding, and it was their first tour as a married couple, the one in 2011. So when they left, they reportedly promised that they'd be back, and 5 years later, they kept their word. It was George's second ever royal tour at age 3. It was his second. I can't believe that either. The most well-traveled kid of all time.
Yeah,
seriously. His first was when he was just 9 months old to New Zealand, and it was Charlotte's first royal tour. They were accompanied by an entourage of 12 and a team of 4 press officers, among them Jason Nauf, who was William and Catherine's then private secretary, Miguel Head, Rebecca Deacon, a tour secretary and operations manager, and the Duchess's hairdresser, Amanda Cook Tucker, a personal stylist, Natasha Archer, who now is married to Chris Jackson, royal photographer, who was also in Canada. Did the romance start there? We may never know. But
fun minor detour. It's worth Googling because there are a lot of stories about their wedding online and a lot of cool pictures. I just feel
of
like
Natasha
I
needed, and Chris of
Natasha
Jackson's
and
wedding.
Chris Jackson's wedding, because I needed to like kind of see the timeline when we were talking about this. Anyways,
yes, especially because it's Kate's personal stylist and then their royal photographer. Like, yeah. They were always together on these tours. I mean, probably hanging out at bars after the royals retired and whatever. So who knows? But I just love that fact. Also, the nanny, George and Charlotte's nanny, Maria, was there. And there were 30 separate appearances in 8 days. Oh, wild. Gosh.
I don't know how they
so
did it. Yeah.
They really kids. Squeezed in so much. Yeah, with the kids. The highlights included that famous tea party for military families where the kids played with balloons, they rode mini horses, Prince George squishing his nose against the window of a seaplane. That was adorable. George looking at bubbles at the party, Charlotte saying her first word pop while hugging that tower of balloons. The videos of her and the balloons are unbelievable.
Amazing.
They're the cutest. But I also wanted to call out Kate Middleton's style evolution. So she's wearing like so many low-rise jeans, like cowboy boots a couple times. It's very interesting to see how her style has changed over the years.
I know. I also just love all the fit and flare coats and dresses. Like, there were a lot of them on that tour. And it's still kind of key to her sort of brand. But she's really branched out and kind of gone a little bit more like midi length or long dresses and long sleeves. And I think that was a different era for her fashion-wise.
Totally. I think she has experimented more. And I think we're going to see even more of that and, you know, pulling out more trendier pieces. But she did bring back her Dolce & Gabbana green dress that she wore on this tour. She re-wore it to Wimbledon. I think it was last year. Wimbledon 2019,
yeah, it was
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, recent.
The totally. Dark green emerald one. Yeah. And yeah. Just, I mean, gorgeous dress. Love that one so much.
Yeah, this was a favorite tour for me, for sure.
Yes,
yeah,
totally. And how much has changed that we have Meghan barely in the picture at this point? This was a month after Harry and Meghan's third date to Botswana.
But we didn't know about their relationship yet, right?
Right. It was still secret. So it's pretty wild. I mean, they met that July, I think it was, or June of 2016. So she wasn't even, you know, in the public eye at this point. Barely. Also, George is now so grown up in the new pictures of the kids with Sir David Attenborough. I thought that was he looks a lot like Louis in the Canada tour pics, I thought.
Yeah, they changed so much too. It's crazy that was only a handful of years ago, but he's like a real person now.
Yeah, and to bridge that connection too, Louis is wearing a sweater that George wore in Canada on that tour. So
Kate does hand-me-down fashion so well.
A lot of throwbacks. You know what made me think though too is like, on the anniversary of the Canada tour, she dressed Louis in the same sweater. Like, is that all just thought out?
Yeah, is there like a big like grid of like, right? Okay, like whoever's styling them all, is it like, okay,
like a bulletin board
and everyone will freak?
Yeah, like I'm picturing like pins with threads coming through them, and they're like 2016 Canada tour. Okay, let's put Louis in the sweater that George wore that same exact, like, just
then I hope there's like a big high five when the press picks it up, like, yeah, we did it, nailed it.
Their team is like, yes. Nailed it.
So good.
I love it. Oh, also, the coordination of their outfits on this tour. This was the first real time that we had seen them all dress in coordinating outfits as a family of four coming off that plane in shades of blue. And they did the same for the Sir David pictures. So I just thought that was really lovely. Sweet throwback.
So well done. I feel like bowing down with kids, yeah. How you pull that off. Anyways, lots of news to get into. This was the bright spot of my week. I was kind of like buzzing, but Princess Eugenie is pregnant. That baby news, it was, I don't know, it was just such a great announcement to get last week.
I think a lot of, yeah, I feel like a lot of us were expecting it or something, you know, maybe Beatrice. And so I think it wasn't as shocking, but it's so exciting that it's so soon, early
it's
2021.
So soon. I know, but I think that's exactly how I feel. It was like, I'm calling it ye old royal bait and switch, because we kept getting a lot of buzz around B, you know, shopping at the White Company coming out, like, which is the Little White Company, which is the baby version of the brand. And I think mm-hmm. that, you know, I really expected any news to be tied to her, but then it was like, no, Eugenie's pregnant. And, you know, I loved the announcement. It came via Instagram and from Eugenie, and it featured two photos, an artistic shot of Eugenie holding a pair of bear-shaped baby slippers, which are still
the
available.
Cutest.
$10
oh
at John
gosh.
Lewis.
I want those like for myself. Maybe for my niece. They're so cute and such a sweet idea.
And then there was also a shot of the parents-to-be, Jack and Eugenie, actually beaming. And she's wearing a Me and M forest green dress, which I don't think is maternity. But the caption said, Jack and I are so excited for early 2021. And there was a baby emoji. I love the subtle. I mean, it's hard to pull off a well-done baby announcement, but I feel like they did it in a very artistic and genuine way.
Yeah, it makes me think back to the Sussexes baby announcement where I think it was, I guess it was the start of their Australia royal tour.
Yes.
So there wasn't really, I don't
like
know.
A post, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. Now that I'm trying to think back to like Sussex royal post. I remember the It's a Boy one when she had Archie.
Yes.
And it was that font that they kind of like had always used in their signature branding and all of that. And then the picture of Archie's feet, which was really sweet.
Yeah. It's very hard to do it well because it can be really cheesy, but I liked this one. But also, you know, Jack and Eugenie are celebrating their 2-year wedding anniversary on October 12th. They've been together, though, already for 10 years, as we know. But this baby, who we don't know the sex of, will be the 9th great-grandchild for the queen and the 11th in line to the throne. So just a little context.
Wow. Yeah. 9th great-grandchild.
Yeah, but the rest of the family did ring in with their support. Buckingham Palace had an official confirmation of the news, but also a super sweet pic of Jack and Eugenie on their wedding day, which I mean, that was also just such a fairy tale occasion, as all royal weddings are.
I thought it was interesting, though, they didn't avoid, you know, mentioning Prince Andrew. They definitely mentioned him in the post, but it's still unclear, like, what part he'll play in all of this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he's going to be posting to his account or saying anything about the baby news publicly. It's just like,
he's kind of just in the background.
Yeah.
Makes sense. But Fergie, on the other hand, was over the moon with excitement.
We should expect.
She shared, "I am so excited by the news that Eugenie and Jack are expecting their first child. Thrilled for them both, and in my 60th year, cannot wait to be a grandmother. Welcoming a new baby into the York family is going to be a moment of profound joy." And she also, I guess, on her YouTube channel where she reads children's book, specifically read a book that was like an ode to the grannies.
that's really sweet, which I thought was kind of
a nice little play. And she was like, "We're the best," that kind of vibe.
She's going to be the best grandmother. I feel like she's just going to spoil this child rotten.
Yeah, but I did feel like hearing sort of the age reference there, I don't know why my brain went here, but like because Fergie and Diana were so close, it just made me think about how much Diana has missed out on, you know, because it's like she now has how many grandchildren and she hasn't been around. And I just feel like for Fergie to be welcoming the first for her, it's just such a big moment. And it just made me a little sad, but that's happy
Fergie
sad
and,
for her Fergie.
Yeah, first, Fergie and Diana were close in age too, right?
Yeah, so Diana would have been 59 this year. So really right at like in sync with that sort of, I don't know, her joy would have been immeasurable.
Right. I think when the royal family announces big things like this, it's a reminder to what, you know, how young she was when she passed. And I think that's just so, you know, obvious now too with this announcement. But the Sussexes also privately congratulated the pair.
Yeah.
And we knew from Finding Freedom, you know, that Eugenie and Harry were super, super close, that she and Jack were two of the first people to know about the relationship with Meghan and to kind of welcome them in and go on double dates and all that. They were at the Halloween party with them when the news went public about their relationship. So I think, you know, hopefully that bond is still there. They grew up so close as cousins, with Fergie and Diana being, you know, as you mentioned, good friends. So
yeah. And they can't do it publicly because they don't have an Instagram account.
I'm waiting on pins and needles to see it, because I feel like it's now being brought up so much, even in today's news from Fortune magazine, about the Archwell Foundation, so which we will get to. Do not worry. I know you're on the edge of your
seat. I do really like also because, you know, Jack and Eugenie are now at Ivy Cottage, which is on the grounds of Kensington Palace. So I feel like, you know, the Cambridges are going to be super close and they're going to have, you know, just a lot of family support as they welcome this new baby in the early months. When is the baby coming? But it's very general, early 2021. So
yeah, I'm wondering if that's January, February, what will the world look like?
2021 is already looking so bright to me. I'm like, let's turn the corner and leave 2020 behind.
Very true. And about the title for the baby, though, do we know if they're going to give their baby any sort of title, HRH?
So it kind of seems like no, that they're not, that they've declined. The Queen offered Jack a title when they got married and he said no then. So I kind of feel like that trend is going to continue with the baby. I mean, the Queen could override it. They could change their mind. But what do you think?
I mean, Princess Anne declined for Zara and
Mike Tyndall.
Peter. Right? Why was
that's
that
her husband,
so hard?
Why am I saying that?
I just blanked. But yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, and Archie is just master. Archie, I think the trend now is to kind of be able to give these kids some privacy and have them not have a title is what it seems like, because then I think the christening wouldn't be as public. They wouldn't have to disclose as much information. There's all sorts of
little
protocols.
Exactly.
They don't have to, you know, kind of adhere to when there's no title.
Yeah, it definitely allows them a lot more privacy. But I'm curious, like, do you think we'll see them outside, like, the Lindo wing? Is that going to go down, or will it be similar kind of more private, like, when they're not senior royals, will it be that we're getting photos a few days later or even just the announcement?
It's all just so different because of COVID now, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I think adding that in, it's like, do we really want a press pack of photographers squeezed
right.
in front of the hospital? Like, maybe it's one photographer.
It's not
and
safe
maybe
for the baby. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So I wonder if it's just how, you know, kind of how the Sussexes did. It's just a photo when they want to release them, or a few, you know, people from the Royal Rota, whatever it is. But I don't think there's going to be
Agreed.
The Lindo wing. It doesn't seem like Eugenie's that type of person
anyway.
I know. Anyway.
She's so low key. I love
her. Yeah, super low key.
I also can't wait for the maternity style. I was just going to add that one thing. Like, I hope we get a lot of that. But anyways, moving
on. Yeah, so moving on, we have a new family photo of the Cambridges, which I just mentioned a little bit ago. But just a couple of weeks after those paparazzi photos of Kate and Louis that, you know, you pointed out, this is why they try to release their own photos so that the paparazzi don't hound them for photos of their kids. The Cambridges released their own family photos with Sir David Attenborough, who's 94. Amazing.
I mean, looks incredible too.
Yeah. He came to Kensington Palace and the kids met him outside in the garden after school on September 24th. And he presented Prince George with probably the best gift you could possibly get a 7-year-old. And that was a fossilized tooth of a giant shark that he excavated himself during a family holiday in Malta in the late 1960s. And it's thought, well, the shark that it came from is 23 million years old. So this is like, and it was massive. It's the size of George's hand, basically.
I mean, I personally would flip for that gift. So, I mean, I'm not a 7-year-old, but I feel like.
Wait, but the craziest part is that Malta, the country, is asking for the tooth back, which is
insane. But did you see they reversed that? They actually then said, so this morning they said that was actually an unnecessary controversy that they were stirring up and they regretted it. The prime minister came out with a statement against the other representative that wanted the tooth back. So
yeah, it was the Minister of Culture was the guy who was saying that they wanted it back.
So they reversed they don't want it back.
Who takes a gift away from a 7-year-old?
There was a lot of criticism of them asking for it back. And so that was why they released another statement not wanting it back. But apparently that same tooth is available for like $40 on eBay.
What?
Yeah, there's a lot of gotta read about it, guys.
Wild. I mean, I feel like you can understand the country wanting this like priceless artifact back, but not if it's $40 on eBay.
There's a lot of controversy around that too.
That could be a whole episode in itself. But so Sir David Attenborough was there because they were screening his new film, A Life on Our Planet, which is out October 1st on Netflix. Prince William and Sir David sat in the garden under blankets to protect them from the chilly autumn weather. They were in director's chairs that had their names on the back, but they swapped chairs. And I guess according to, you know, sources online and Instagram, that's what actors do because they want it, and directors because they want good luck. It's like one of those, like,
bad luck
to
sit in the chair with your name on it. It's what I read. So I'm not in that biz, so I don't know, but it makes sense to me.
But fill us in if you guys are thespians, because we'd love to know. But I loved that the Cambridges coordinated in shades of blue. Like we mentioned, Kate was wearing a sustainable dress. It's repurposed denim midi dress from Gabriella Hearst, which is a Meghan Markle favorite brand. She also wore Emmy London navy block heels. And, you know, sustainability, this climate change documentary, I think that was really smart on her part. Also, who knows if it's a shout out to Meghan Markle, one of her favorite brands. Well, I love that. Hopefully. And then we mentioned Louis re-wore his older brother George's sweater that he wore in Canada at the tea party. Charlotte wore a Zara dress with a Peter Pan collar and bright blue slip-on shoes. So the coordination was master level.
And did you see there was like a little elephant embroidered on George's shirt?
Oh, I didn't see that.
On like a little pocket. I saw a couple people like zoomed in on it. It was just like a tiny, I don't know if they had it added or if that was how the shirt came or.
Is it Banana Republic?
I don't know where I don't know where the shirt was from. They had like some of the shopping guides had similar options, but I definitely, I loved the little tiny detail.
Cute. That is really sweet for this documentary. And also there's another documentary titled Prince William, A Planet for Us All. And the kids are massive fans of Sir David Attenborough. Kate revealed that in that upcoming documentary, which will be on ITV. And she also said during their first official video call, if you'll remember, that was back when quarantine first started, that George is a huge fan of him and has been watching Blue Planet and nature documentaries. So he might be Kate's favorite celeb as well. I know, and their fangirling moment when he walked out. All the kids look so excited.
Charlotte's reaction, though. Charlotte is like arms out, like, come to me. Yeah. I loved her reaction the most.
It's so cute. And then Louis seems like a little bit like not looking at
anything. Like distracted.
Anything.
Like, where are
but
we?
That's okay. Because he's 2. Charlotte's 5. But George is absolutely over the moon about the tooth.
Yeah, he's just like, that's all I care about right now.
Yeah, Malta, sorry, but you're not getting that back. It doesn't seem
like it.
And we also saw Kate today in an appearance in Northwest London. She did some socially distant activities with the Cub and Beaver Scouts. Reminder, she was a brownie when she was growing up. So it's a cause very near and dear to her heart. And she wore her striped scout scarf. She wore a vest with pockets by Really Wild, which I really wanted. And I looked up and it retails for over $500. So that's going to be a no for me, but it's a really great little vest. And it's another brand focused on sustainability. So it seems she's pushing that a lot more with her clothing choices, which is great. Massimo Dutti skinny jeans and her C by Chloe lace-up boots that she wore last year. And so now she's been made joint president of the Scouts Association along with Prince Edward, Duke of Kent. He's been president since 1975. And the Queen is patron. The sweetest moments, though, were when Kate was interacting with the kids. As always, she's so, so good with kids every event she does. But I loved when she was roasting marshmallows with them. And she asked them, as she sat down on tree stumps around a fire pit, are you guys having fun? How many marshmallows have you eaten? One of them replied, one. She said, oh my goodness, that's so controlled of you. Is that because there's only one in your bag?
I missed that, Roberta. That's amazing.
She has a good sense of humor, and I think we rarely get to actually hear it. I tried looking up videos to get some sound bites on the pod, and it was hard to hear any of the sound. There's so many good pictures of her laughing with the kids, though, and making these like little I think they're called whirly dings or whirly.
Well,
something.
That's what I was going to say. I feel like even though it wasn't great enough quality for the podcast, I felt like we got to hear a little bit of more snippets than usual of her conversation. Like she's talking about how to make slime and things like that. I just thought, I mean, she really makes such an effort to get on the level with these kids. And they're kind of, I thought what was humorous was that the kids are really taking it, running away with the conversation. Like she's trying to get a word in, and they have a lot of stories to tell. And she's really
not
keeping
fazed
up.
At all that she's the Duchess of Cambridge. At all. They just had so much fun with her. I think that they really, you know, when you're a kid, and I don't think you have like this kind of starstruck mentality that I would probably have around her and like clam up. I don't know. Maybe some of them do, but they seem just so like it makes it so fun for her, I think.
I know. And I just love her kind of dressed down vibe. And I did notice she arrived wearing a mask. There was actually pretty good social distancing. And the marshmallow moment, did you see that everything was individually bagged? Like when she sat down, I thought that was kind of cool to see that there was a lot of effort. So they weren't reaching into the same bag.
There was a lot of criticism though about the David Attenborough stuff because he is 94 and because the kids are around. I think, you know, we've been hearing reports that the UK in particular and Europe is, you know, entering a second wave of coronavirus cases. So that's kind of what people were focused on too, is like, yes, they're outside. And I just looked up the laws in England say it's mandatory in inside public spaces, so not outside. Mm-hmm. But still, just kind of crazy that they wouldn't have masks on around someone, you know, it doesn't make for a good picture, obviously, but someone is well known as, you know, a naturalist David Attenborough, I would think that they'd take more precautions.
Maybe they all got tested. Maybe that's what they do for those types of really high profile things. I feel like that's becoming more common. But yeah, COVID cases in London, we were just looking up, are really, really high again. So it's unnerving to see.
I'm wondering if that'll, you know, slow down any of their future engagements, just because they have really hit the ground running this fall. And I cases spiking again there, it'll be interesting to see how they, if they go back to video calls, if they kind of do a hybrid. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see.
I know. But moving on, a few Sussex updates. We've got a handful here, but we'll go quickly. Fallout from Prince Harry's voting call during the Time 100 special. The Buckingham Palace actually had to release a statement that the Duke is not a working member of the royal family and any comments he makes are made in a personal capacity. This was about sort of his revelation that he has never been able to vote in his life, which makes sense because obviously the monarchy and parliament work together. It would be kind of a weird thing to be voting on that. But, you know, I feel like he got so much flack for it being sort of a faux pas and how dare he kind of make those comments. But the thing for me is voting is like, basically pushing people to vote and making that call to action is completely nonpartisan. So people need to cool it.
I think it was interesting too that like a majority of his comments in the Time 100, you know, speech that they gave were mainly centered around harassment and hate speech online. Yeah. And it was only a very brief moment of like him saying, as we approach this November, it's vital we reject hate speech, misinformation, you know, what we consume as an effect of all of us. And then talking about how he was never able to vote in the UK and he's not able to vote here. But neither of them endorsed any particular candidate. It was all very, I don't know, it seemed very kosher to me. So
me too.
It's weird that people are up in arms about that and that Buckingham even had felt the need to say anything.
You're damned if you do. You're damned if you don't. I don't know. Also, a great sort of moment last week. Meghan's surprise appearance to recognize Archie Williams on America's Got Talent. So I hadn't totally been following Archie Williams' story, and I really want to take a moment just to shout out to him because, A, his voice is incredible. If anyone isn't watching the show, please go back, Google, YouTube, watch all of his songs. But the backstory on Archie is that he was wrongfully convicted of aggravated rape and attempted murder when he was 22 in Louisiana. And then he was incarcerated for 36 years until the Innocence Project helped exonerate him. And it was through DNA. So, I mean, it's just an absolute heartbreaking story. But for the finale, Meghan voiced her support. So we're going to play a quick clip from that.
Hi, Archie. I just wanted to let you know that we've been so moved by your story and we have been cheering you on every week. And it's not just because we're partial to the name. So a very special message to you that I will probably be saying all of my life, but on this night, it is specifically for you. Archie, we are proud of you and we are rooting for you and we can't wait to see what you do. We're in your corner. Have a good night.
Loved that. I mean, kind of a surprise, right?
Yeah, such a surprise, especially one day after the Time 100 where I did not think we would see them again. And here she is sitting in their living room or sitting room or whatever that was.
Such a posh setup too. I loved all the backdrop that we got via that new clip.
I know. And I kind of feel like they're everywhere right now. Like they're popping up in all these places and it's kind of like taking me off guard a lot. We have so much to talk about always on this podcast, but just like in recent weeks, the Sussexes have been everywhere.
Totally agree. I think that particular appearance really surprised me because A, I was like, are they huge fans of America's Got Talent? Is that like where this came from? But also, I mean, it really shows the breadth of what they're now able to do. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, they can
just
the
hop on a reality show. Yeah.
They can pivot. They don't have to go through any royal rigmarole. They can just pick and choose and Harry can be there or Harry and Meghan or, you know, Harry. It's just Harry, I should say.
I was also kind of taken aback by how not intrusive, that's the wrong word, but kind of just like how like much of a view inside their home we got and like all of their coffee table books and everything. It felt like a lot of times they've been outside and it's been hard to detail anything about the home. It was confirmed that it wasn't in the backyard of their own home and all these things. But this is like it's like fulfilling my most voyeuristic like needs and desires to like see inside their house.
Well, and they know that
but
too,
I just love it.
Right? I mean, that's why it's so staged and not staged, but it's like they're, I'm sure those coffee table books, which we should mention, are completely, you know, selected specifically for, you know, attention. So it's interesting. But on there, you know, they had the credenza with The Black Godfather, The Clarence Avant Story, another book, Women, National Geographic Image Collection, and then A Photographer's Life by Annie Leibovitz. That's just naming a few. You know, they had the Diptyque candles from, that was the brand they used as their diffusers wedding. At their wedding and reception. And then beautiful hydrangeas. I don't know. But Megan looked phenomenal, by the way.
Oh, she looked so great. And I love when she does a, you know, hair up messy bun moment. That'll always be a whole near and dear to my heart.
The lighting was great. I just loved it. Yeah.
That kind of brings us, though, to our next point about, you know, this voyeuristic look into their lives is what everyone really wants. And I think they do know that. But rumors of a reality TV show are off base and have been completely, I guess, denied and not that's not happening.
No, it's not. That was rumored to be part of their Netflix deal. I'm not quite sure where that rumor started, but it included it said that there would be a fly on the wall series about their lives, and that they don't always release statements, but this got a firm hard no that is not happening. The statement said the couple already has several projects in development, including an innovative nature doc series and an animated series that celebrates inspiring women, but we are not disclosing any of the programming slate at this time. So we did get a couple of additional details about upcoming content, but the reality series is just totally fictitious.
Yeah, there was even some silly names being thrown around, like rumored names. It was like Meet the Markles, which I thought was really like,
where did this rumor start? It's kind of rude.
Yeah, it's very weird. But it is so true that's what, like, I don't know if like Netflix, I mean, I'm sure they know this, that's like really what people want. They're not going to do that, obviously. And they've said and deny that they won't. But a lot of people, I think, this came from people just speculating like, okay, Netflix has coughed up, you know, possibly hundreds of millions of dollars for this deal. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, they have to kind of pay their price in return, you know, pay in a pound of flesh for whatever they're, you know, going to do. So does that mean that Netflix is going to really kind of commercialize them in a way that they haven't been before? I just don't think that's...
Yeah, how much will they be part of the promos for each series or things like that?
I'm sure their contract has all these, like, you know, in no way will Meghan and Harry be in any kind of show that they, you know, have said they don't want to be in, which I would think the first thing would be a reality TV show. There's no way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure it has all these clauses, stipulations, completely, things like that.
It's interesting.
It's interesting that this rumor came up.
Yeah,
out
so
of
not
nowhere,
not true.
Shut it down.
Yeah, it's not true.
Shut it down.
I feel like when I said not true, that didn't make sense.
It's not true.
There's false. No reality show. Yeah. And then just one final update on Meghan that just broke is that the courts, you know, that ties to our episode last week, the courts just ruled that the Mail on Sunday can update their defense to reference excerpts in Finding Freedom, which is kind of crazy. That's a pretty big deal. But, you know, the Mail on Sunday claimed that Meghan undermined claims to privacy with her lawsuit about them publishing the letter about Thomas Markle, her letter to Thomas, by participating in Finding Freedom to put out her own version of events. So,
yeah, I think it's really interesting because the judge, you know, ruled that the Mail on Sunday could use Finding Freedom, but that they also said, like, this doesn't harm Meghan's case at all. And I think her lawyers just have to continue to deny or, you know, pick parts of it that they know aren't factual and kind of pinpoint to that, you know, evidence that they did not cooperate with the author and they aren't open to, you know, having their private secrets and moments out on the table for everyone to see. So,
yeah, there is an appeal in motion, but interesting stuff
from Meghan's team.
But yeah, the judge said that if it's, you know, if it's not going to stand on its own, it should quickly fall apart in trial anyway. And that, you know, Meghan knows the case she has to meet was one of the quotes. So,
and we know already that Omid gave a witness statement, but will he be called to the stand? I think that's probably going to happen if the Mail on Sunday does decide, you know, this book is a big part of our case. We think that she cooperated. She told everyone these things and that's precedent for us to release a private letter. Obviously, I'm totally not agreeing with that at all, but that's where they're coming from. So super interesting. All right. Whew. So much Sussex news. So before we adjourn the Royal Pod, here are our highs and lows.
It's time for the Royal Highs and Lows.
So Rachel, you want to go first?
Okay. Mine is
Yours is such a low. Let's get it out of the way.
I know. I don't even want to talk about it, but Trump's comments about Harry and Meghan. Ugh. Okay, so after a reporter, which actually is rumored to be from the Daily Mail. Ugh. I don't know, did you see that? But apparently that reporter baited Trump at a press conference and said that Harry and Meghan openly endorsed Biden during the Time 100 event. They didn't. They did not. But Trump felt the need to respond, and he said, "I'm not a fan of hers, and I would say this, and she probably has heard this. I wish a lot of luck to Harry because he's going to need it." Ugh, I don't even want to talk about it, but it's just so gross, and it's gross for me for two reasons, because A, misogyny is real, and I just don't want our president commenting on Harry and Meghan. There is so much going on that I'm just like, why is that what we're hearing from you on? I mean, I know it's apparently massive news, but it's just so gross.
I feel like the fact that he deigns to talk about it and has also attacked Meghan previous times as well is just like, he really has a bone to pick with her, and for no reason at all, it seems like. And so it's just like so awful, but I really like laughed because it's like, how can 2020 get any crate? Like, I just don't know how we're going to get through.
Weird. So weird.
My low this week is, you know, we heard about Queen Elizabeth's finances. The report was released last week. They have a major shortfall in their finances. So, but two sources, Harper's and People Magazine, it's between $25 and $40 million shortfall finances over the next few years. Yeah, it's due to the reduction in income from the Royal Collection Trust due to the impact of COVID. Basically, that translates to there's been no tourism. And with no tourism, nobody's paying entrance fees. You know, they're not donating to go see, you know, all of the crown jewels or whatever. So the Royal Collection Trust money feeds into the sovereign grant, which pays the royals to carry out official duties as well as maintenance of occupied royal residences. The sovereign grant can't go down from previous years. That's the wild thing. So the royals will still receive the same amount of money next year. It's just that they won't get, I guess, all the Royal Collection Trust money. And it's a lot of it has to do with Buckingham Palace refurbishments, which have cost them almost, I think it was like $500 million, $500 million to refurbish Buckingham Palace. And it's going to take seven more years. So they really need to find these savings elsewhere. They've already instituted a recruitment freeze, so they're not hiring anyone else, and a pay freeze, but they haven't done any furloughs. So, which I thought was good. Ooh. They're trying to really keep everyone on staff, but there's no raises. There's no new hires. So
does that mean really the ticket price to see Princess Beatrice's wedding dress is going to go up?
It's probably going to go up. Yeah, they're going to have to.
I'll pay anything, by the way.
Yeah. Probably a lot more commercial flights. A lot of the travel finances have gotten a lot of news recently. Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out in the future. Ugh, but
crazy. Crazy. Well, my high is something that was sort of, you know, we kind of got a little glimpse of it right before recording, but Meghan's speech at Fortune's Powerful Women Summit. The ticket was a cool $13,000, so wasn't in the podcast budget.
Yeah, Rachel and I were trying to register. We're like, wait a second, this membership's 13 grand? What?
Not quite happening, but so Meghan joined, and there's an article on Fortune if you want to check it out, talked about the importance of humane tech with Fortune's Ellen McGirt. She said, "We have got to all put our stock in something that is true, and we need to have reliable media and news sources that are telling us the truth. When you know something is wrong, report it, talk about it." That was a big part of her message. This was a really big deal. She said, "If you look back at anything I've ever said, what ends up being inflammatory is people's interpretation of it. But if you listen to what I actually say, it's not controversial." I really loved that. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, it speaks a lot to the way that the voting comments have been interpreted and you know, discussed in length in the media. I think that that's kind of where she was going with that. So,
and I just want to mention one other quote, which was maybe my highlight of what I read about this speech, but and it ties perfectly with my low. But she referenced this Georgia O'Keeffe quote that she closed with, and she said, "I've already settled it for myself. So flattery and criticism go down the same drain, and I am quite free." So, kind of just a good thing to keep in
mind. Mic drop.
Mic drop. Exactly. I hope there's video soon.
Yeah. And there was a few little pictures before we hopped on our Zoom recording to record this episode. And I loved seeing more of the decor. She switched out the flowers in the vase behind her and also had on, you know, a beautiful striped blue and white shirt. There was a blanket ladder behind her in the corner. She was Same
Shout
room.
Shout out to
same
the blanket ladders. The, love the blanket ladders. That should be my high. Just the blanket ladder.
I love it. My high is that we are getting a Downton Abbey movie sequel, and it's going to be soon. I'm so excited. I assume that all fans of this podcast are also fans of Downton Abbey, just like me. So sorry if you're not and don't care. But this movie will start shooting next year, according to Mr. Carson, who is the Grantham family butler. It's actually played by Jim Carter. That's who revealed it on a talk show. He said he has seen the scripts for the sequel. And reminder, the first installment ended with Lady Violet Crawley, played by the inimitable Maggie Smith. I just can't get over her and this character. She revealed in the end of the first Downton Abbey movie that she has a fatal diagnosis from the doctor and promises Mary that she will continue the legacy of Downton. So I think that left it wide open for another sequel. I was on the red carpet interviewing the stars.
I forgot about that. Oh my God, Roberta.
So it really is.
I've never been more jealous of your
one
career.
One of my personal passions is Downton Abbey, the show, Downton Abbey, the movie.
Didn't you talk to Mr. Carson?
I did. Ugh. And I talked to Lady Mary and Edith and Robert, Lord Grantham. Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Ugh. I can't wait.
Just so exciting.
What a good note to end on.
I know.
Well, just a reminder before we close, leave us a royal rating of a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. Here's a recent review from Kelsey ROS325. She said, "My friend got me hooked on Royally Obsessed after Finding Freedom came out. She told me I had to listen to the podcast, and I haven't stopped since. I look forward to new episodes each week. Not only are Rachel and Roberta's voices the most calming things to listen to, but they match my enthusiasm for the royal family. I find myself responding to what they are talking about because I feel like we are just three friends talking."
This is so sweet. I feel like this is someone we know.
I know. This is so kind.
No, this is really nice. Thank you, Kelsey.
She says, "It's currently Friday night and I'm watching the Nat Geo doc Being the Queen because of this week's episode of the pod. It's the perfect way to end the first week of remote teaching." Oh my gosh. Shout out to you. "The doc is amazing. Thank you for the recommendation. Truly, God save the pod."
Here, here.
Here, here.
Cheers to Kelsey and remote teaching. Yeah. We salute you.
We applaud you guys. Oh my
yes,
gosh.
Seriously.
Hardest job. So a reminder to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss an episode. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and subscribe to the Facebook group Royally Obsessed. And until next week,
God save the pod.
Her Majesties of Royally Obsessed have retired for this episode. God save the pod. And if you fancy the podcast, give Royally Obsessed the royal rating of 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Instagram at Royally Obsessed Podcast and join our Facebook group, Royally Obsessed. Royally Obsessed is a Gallery Podcast production.